Is that a little bit? Is that a little bit like an Arsenal start? Do you reckon?
Yeah.
It took a long while to get going.
Slow, uninspiring.
Yeah, very uninspiring, very slow. Oh, it was the end. It was the end before we started. So you just had a drum roll. No music to antagonise people that support Celtic. So sorry about that. Those Celtic fans out there. So hello again, Alex. It's good to have you back on board again.
Hello, mate.
All right.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, nice one. And has it been a pleasure watching Arsenal lately? That's the question.
Before Sunday, the obvious answer would be no. It feels like we've regressed, and Arteta seems to be making the same mistakes that he's been making for a while. You know, trusting the senior players let him down. But you know, Sunday was good. Obviously, tomorrow night, a massive game.
Massive.
Yeah, it's a season-defining game because, yeah, if you remember back to last season, yeah, we won the FA Cup, and that really gave Arteta a lot of credit and a lot of sort of a period of time to sort of work on his ideas. Unfortunately, that sort of good grace seems to be exhausted a little bit. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that does seem to be the case. So, yeah, it'd be a massive win if we can get into the final. Or the semi-final is a star. Who do we play if we win?
I think it's Villarreal. Almost certainly. Yeah. I mean, they won the first leg, so it's going to be good evening. He's going to return.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. You know, that would be nice to put that sort of twat to bed as well. A draw's not the worst result in the world. We have to score. But by the sounds of it, obviously I didn't watch the game because of the time difference. My insomnia wouldn't made me miss it. But it sounded like we had loads of chances. We just didn't take them.
Yeah, when you look at the statistics, there weren't that many chances statistically. But yeah, it did sound like Arsenal dominated the game. They should have put the game to bed, and in the end, they didn't. Just going one go up. But yeah, it's just disastrous. You let a goal in Europe, and it's so disastrous when you face the second leg. Now Arsenal know they have to score or they're out. But then maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Arsenal will, you know, there's been a lot of talk about who should play. Yeah, if it's Pepe, Lacazette, and Alba all playing as a front three, it's going to give any team, you know, innumerable problems.
You say that like. We've disagreed over Aubameyang. Lacazette, I think we've disagreed for a while. Mm. I'll credit where credit's due. Lacazette has been better.
Yes.
I'm not so sure. He's not performing. Obviously, he got dropped against Spurs. He's not acting like a captain. He's acting like a big-time child. He's acting like a bit like Ozil did. You know, he got his new contract. He hasn't performed. You know, I remember, and I can't fault the club for offering him a new contract. We all wanted him to be offered a new contract. So, you know, at the time, it seemed like the right decision.
Yes.
But he's certainly not performing. Now, I've just heard a rumour that Aubameyang has malaria. And so he won't be playing in the game tomorrow. Apparently, a friend's brother is a doctor. And he's treating Aubameyang for malaria in hospital.
Wow, that's shocking. If true, and in a way, doesn't. I mean, all I know, he was ill, and when I saw him off the team sheet, I was so shocked. You know, because there was no news about it. There was no injury news. You know, like we knew, for example, Smith Rowe wasn't going to play. We knew Odegaard wasn't going to make it. We knew that, but was actually Gabriel was another one. But we'll come to him maybe later. But the Alba being out of the team, I was just, I'm not saying I was devastated about it. You know, I'm a huge fan, but I thought, you know, realistically, is he playing as well as he should? Probably not.
No, he's not. I think you need to drop him. No player is undroppable.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a very, Henry would never get dropped under Wenger. And there were times when, you know, he was dog shit, but he's never, don't get me wrong, like overall, he was absolutely class, and you know, you could almost allow it to a certain extent. But Aubameyang's not having the season that he had. last season. He's not pulling up trees like he was last season. And I think, yeah, you know, it's a case of every player should be worth drops.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we talked about this so many times about, you know, players, if they think they're not going to get dropped, they get complacent.
Yeah,
they
don't put in the performance. Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't help the team. And, you know, and Arsenal started playing well, you know, post-Chelsea for a number of reasons. But I think because they played the youth and the older players are, oh, fucking hell, we need to put our fingers out. And I think someone who's been a shining example of that has been Xhaka. Xhaka has been, you know, as anyone that listens to this podcast, the tens of people that listen to this podcast, I'm not a big fan of Granit Xhaka, but I tell you what, he has absolutely smashed it. Like, he's consistently performed. He's played so many games. Like, if you look at how many games he's played, like, it's a wonder he hasn't got injured. He played left back on Saturday or Sunday, whenever it was. He's such a team player. And, you know, the only sad thing was obviously his skill set is limited. And I don't think that's a particularly controversial statement. No, but as a team player, he is fantastic. And he really deserves a lot of credit. And I think he's taken that on board.
He deserves credit. Arteta said. Yeah.
Yeah, he's taken that on board what Arteta said about non-negotiables, working hard, you know. It's a shame that it doesn't seem to be the case for everyone, and certain players, you know, Willian, how he's still, you know, and I know he's picked up his performances a little bit recently. I'll grant you that, but he's still not doing enough. You know, when he came on Sunday, he slowed the game down, and then Elneny comes on, he slows the game down. So, I hope that he goes with youth, and we have a young, exciting team. We press, we have lots of energy, because when we do that, we're a difficult team to play against. It's just when we do it, it doesn't seem to happen as much as it should. We don't seem to come into every game with lots of energy. You know, we start slow. You know, we made that joke just a second ago. Yeah, but it's a joke made out of absolute truth, isn't it? You know, we start slow in some games. You know, it takes us 20 minutes to, you know, realise what we're doing. And then our tester has to work out what's going wrong. And, you know, it's been commented a few times that players don't respect the plan. Well, then fucking sack off the players. You know, if the players aren't respecting the plan, then something needs to be done about those players.
It was actually a player said that, right? Was it Lacazette?
Yeah, it's Lacazette.
Yeah.
I remember Keane went absolutely fucking mental when he heard it. Like, Keane was like, get rid of the players, you know. And yeah, as you would. Like, it's shocking. If the players don't respect the plan, fuck the players off then. You know, because these players have got rid of a couple managers.
Yeah,
let's be fair. These players got rid of Wenger, you know, in the sense that they stopped performing for him. These players stopped performing for, you know, Emery. You know, and don't get me wrong, he didn't help himself, but, you know, so.
But ultimately, you know, he looks like a good manager. He takes Villarreal to the semi-final.
No, I think he struggled with the magnitude of the club. I think he struggled with the language as well. I think that's
without a doubt.
That's what that needs raising. But no, of course, he's no muck, is he?
No.
Like, you know, you don't get into like Europa League finals year in after year if you're shit. So, I think hopefully, I really hope Arsenal, you know, we turn up, we put in a decent performance. Because I don't think Slavia Prague are, you know, amazing. Yeah, I know they beat Leicester and, you know, Rangers. I don't see that as an accomplishment. But winning the Scottish League, you know, it's like, all right, well done. Beating Leicester's fine, fair enough. But, you know, it's not like they beat Man United or Liverpool or, you know, Leicester are a good team and they're probably better than Arsenal this year.
Although Arsenal smashed Leicester, do you remember that? Was it 3-0?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
absolutely.
They
did. No, exactly. Well, when I look at the Sheffield United game against the Leicester game, which was more impressive, there's no doubt in my mind, the Leicester game was far more impressive.
Well, because it's a better opposition,
but it was more conclusive. The Sheffield United game, in my book, wasn't that conclusive. They could have nicked a goal here or there. You know, they had more than a couple of chances.
I'm not sure if I agree massively. Yeah. Like, they didn't really look like scoring, but Arsenal often gives team chances.
Yeah, gifting them chances. It was a case of that. Whereas against Leicester, I don't recall that. I mean, it's how long ago? A couple of months, was it? I don't remember exactly. But I don't recall Yeah, I don't recall Arsenal gifting Leicester any chances at all because they knew they couldn't. Maybe because they knew they couldn't.
Exactly.
But with Sheffield United, there you go. Have a chance.
Yeah.
We'll pass it right across our 6-yard box, and you know if you score, great, and if you don't, well, you know, better still.
Yeah.
You know that there was a touch of that about the performance against Sheffield United. So yeah, the result sounded good. And yeah, I thought I was obviously pleased, but at the same time, I didn't think it was a 3-0. To me, it wasn't a 3-0. The Leicester game was a 3-0. Well, you know, there's been a bit of time since that game was played, and now, of course. So looking back on it, I'm you know, to me, it was one of the highlights of the season, if not the highlight of the season. I mean, I feel silly saying that now because
Spurs quite nice though as well.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was such a great result.
It's always good to see Mourinho upset.
Especially with all the text messages I was getting during that game. It was just unbelievable. And then suddenly, they all stopped. I wonder why. Yeah. So I was getting so much. Not abuse. I wouldn't call it abuse, but I was getting... there was a lot. And I just said, leave me alone. Let me concentrate on the game. But no, I was getting all these text messages from the UK all the time while that was going on. And yeah, it was distracting. And then I just... I enjoyed that result so much. And there's even a chance Arsenal might overtake. There could be a St. Tottenham.
We're not far off, are we? And they're stumbling Spurs. Spurs I wouldn't say they're in free fall.
They don't look good, though.
No, they don't. They don't. Mourinho's doing his classic, it's all about me thing, isn't he? We'll see. We'll see. I think obviously right off the league, but I think if we cut somehow, get into the final, that'd be amazing. You know, and then everyone loves the final, don't they? And I think it was again. You know, Wenger, for all the Wenger's greatness, he never won a European final, did he? No. So can you imagine Arteta?
See. You know, I said this all along. I'm not saying it now, but. You know, still proud to get past, of course. But I said all along, I said, this is a cup team. And you said, no, it isn't. And then we got knocked out of the FA Cup straight after. So I thought I better sharp about that. But now, quarterfinals of the Europa League, but it doesn't look too promising, to be honest. I'm not as confident as I was when I said we were a cup team.
We need a huge performance.
Massive,
The big players need to turn up. You know, Luis not needs. Luis is injured, isn't he?
Yeah, he's out for the whole season.
That's one thing. Tierney's out
for the whole season.
That for me is the big thing.
See, this is the problem: the injuries. If Smith Rowe doesn't play, I think, and Odegaard as well, the pair of them are so essential. And you take those out of the mix, and now my confidence is gone. It's totally gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Arsenal can beat Sheffield United. Can they beat Sparta Prague? They should be able to beat Sparta Prague, and they might do it, but it's going to be skin of the teeth. It's going to be a single goal.
If you look at how we played before we decided to use a 10 and put Smith Rowe into the, it's almost like we're going back to that sort of old sort of way. So that's why I'm a bit concerned, really.
And then look at Saka as well. Bukayo Saka, he had ice on his thigh, so he's. He's not a guaranteed.
They say that, but
it's not guaranteed to play. I think he will, but because I think they're injecting. Or whatever they do to get him fit. But he didn't look in good shape. I mean, yeah, he played well, but once he got that injury, I was worried sick. Totally worried sick about that guy. I wonder how much he's worth in the transfer market. I mean, that's something to discuss it another time. I mean, if he doesn't play, he's going to make the difference because he's a spark that makes things happen. You take him out. Who can sort of, you know, join up the midfield with the attack? Although I have to say, Ceballos got a lot of plaudits for his performance. What do you think of Ceballos after Chef? I know
Ceballos is so inconsistent.
Yes.
And again, I think with Ceballos, you have to take it with a massive pinch of salt because it was against Sheffield United.
Yes. Like, he always plays well against
him. Against shit teams. If he had performed against a better team, I might be more open to that as an idea. But this is against Sheffield United. Like, he's been inconsistent. he's been, for me, he's been of the case of like, if he left at the end of the season, I wouldn't be too upset.
Yeah, a lot like, of people.
I don't think, you know, he's done all right, but yeah, I don't think he warrants a new contract.
Yeah, like, Odegaard. I really want Odegaard so badly. This Norwegian guy is just something else.
On the other hand, yes.
And Tobias is good. I would like Tobias too, but I'm not going to cry if Tobias leaves. But if I won't cry if Odegaard leaves, but I probably should, because that guy is, he brings so much to the team. Tobias sometimes brings a lot to the team, but not always.
Yeah, it's class. Well, it's just a bit more class, a bit more consistency.
Yeah, yeah. Always turns up. Every single game he turns up.
Yeah.
And he gives it everything, absolutely everything. Tobias, sometimes I forget he's playing, even against Sheffield United at the beginning. I forgot he was actually on the pitch at one point early on. And then he started to impose himself. I went, whoa, this guy's pretty good, though. But why have I only just noticed it? Yeah. The guy's got
skill.
That's
the thing, isn't it? That's the Arsenal problem. He's too inconsistent. And this is where Arsenal, like, they cannot afford to have these players that just decide to turn up when they want.
Yeah.
Or, you know, cannot do it on a regular basis. That's not the standard that we need. We need consistency. We need good performances on a consistent basis. And a lot of Arsenal players don't meet that requirement.
Yeah.
So I think, I hope he doesn't play 10. I don't know who you would have in the midfield. Maybe Partey. Maybe Tobias. I suppose you'd need to, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Bit of creative. You can't have fucking Elneny in there. the crap. Like,
I like Elneny. I have to say, I like Elneny. I would give him.
He's all right. He's a squad player. Yeah, and this is how far the drop, isn't it? This is how far Arsenal have dropped. Elneny's he's a squad player.
But wait a second. You say that. I've got to defend Elneny. Sorry. Look, I'm just thinking back in time. You know, De Nilsson or Elneny, which is the better player?
Neither. They're both terrible options.
I like Elneny better. I'll tell you why. I like Elneny better than De Nilsson, because De Nilsson, somebody from the Gooner called him the deck chair, because he just basically did nothing and he was lazy as well. Where Elneny is certainly not lazy. He's got a work ethic. And so I'll take the work ethic over the guy that doesn't have a work ethic. And, you know, for this level, at least, isn't that skillful.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got a decent work ethic. Well, that's fine. You know, he tries hard. Mm. But is that what you want? Someone that tries hard? You want elite players.
Yeah, he's not an elite player. Of course. But and he's versatile and as well. He can play centre-back. He can play. I mean, you know, listen, Alex, I'm not saying I love Elneny as the best player since sliced bread. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, he's a squad player. He's a decent squad player. I don't really want him to leave. I won't cry in my soup if he leaves. If he leaves, I can accept it. But compared to the deck chair, I'll take Elneny over the deck chair any day. And even Diaby, everybody was raving about him and he was always injured. Was always in.
Well, Diaby's a different case. Diaby had more talent and ability than both.
Yeah, of course.
And, he just got fucked over very early on in his career and never recovered, really.
Yeah, that's true.
I felt
sorry for him. Yeah, same here.
So much.
He had some talent.
He's a beast, wasn't he? He's what Thomas Partey, we hope he can be. You know, I think Diaby maybe's got a bit more skill about him, but. You know, he's that imposing midfielder. Yeah, the new Vieira. That's what we hoped he would be. And, he just got fucked over with that injury. It was against Sunderland.
Yeah, some sort of
Hulk
team.
I felt sorry for Diaby. Like, I never felt like he got a particularly fair... Yeah, in his career, he could always be a bit annoyed at how his career turned out. And
that wasn't Arsenal's fault, though. Arsenal tried... I mean, they rehabilitated him and tried to play him. But the thing was, all the games, I saw that combination in midfield so many times at the ground. You know, I was watching De Nilsson, Diaby, and I thought, this midfield is absolutely awful. When I look at the midfield that Arsenal got now, it's not great either. But honestly, if I had to choose Diaby and the deck chair versus Xhaka, and you know I'm not a fan of Xhaka, you know that. Xhaka and Ceballos, I will take Xhaka and Ceballos over the two Ds every time.
Yeah.
Just because even though Xhaka doesn't move a lot, he's got, you know, as I've said before, he can read the game well. And Ceballos has got good movement. He's got his movement is good. There's no doubt about that. And and when he wants to turn up, that is. And then, yeah, and so the midfield is, you know, it's not great. It's really not great, but it's better. I think
the midfield needs the most amount of work.
Yeah.
We need, I think in terms of strikers, I think, you know, we've possibly got, we signed that Balogun, didn't we?
Yeah, but, looks like it. Has that gone through?
I don't think it's gone through yet. I think it's
I'm so desperate for him to sign. Balogun, he's got something about him. He's, as I said, if he leaves, it's going to be another Andy Cole situation or Andrew Cole, because I think he changed his name later down the line. But that guy clearly should never have left Arsenal. The amount of goals he scored for Newcastle and later on for Manchester United. And if Arsenal let that happen again with Balogun, that, it's a cardinal sin. It's a cardinal sin.
Interesting. Yeah, it's quite a long time ago.
It's a long time ago, but you know what? It feels like yesterday to me because it was so upsetting. Having a guy as top goal scorer in the Premier League year after year, it felt like. Because he was.
Yeah, well, we signed Ian Wright, hadn't we? We'd signed Ian Wright.
Yeah, but you've got to keep players of that ability if you can. I know it's not easy. And I mean, to me, it's like a similar situation now. Okay, Auba's a bit older than Ian Wright. Ian Wright was, you know, he's a legend. He still is a legend.
Yeah, he's like one of my favourites. I think with Cole, it was kind of like, he wasn't proven, was he?
No, like, not as much.
Proven. Like, he went to Bristol and then he went to Newcastle and obviously he did the business at Newcastle and then he got the big money move to United. But, you know, he wasn't the finished article. But, you know, obviously you want to keep your young players and hopefully with Balogun, you know, we get something out of him. We get some potential. And because I think Uber, I wouldn't be surprised if Uber or Lacazette go
this year. I think
might be the one. Give them a bit of time. I think Balogun's been said, look, we'll pie one of them off. You'll get more playing time.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, because Nketiah hasn't really set the world alight. And I think, yeah, Balogun does deserve his chance.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I had my doubts, I'll be honest. I do like Eddie Nketiah. I can never say his name right, but I like him anyway. I like him because of his work ethic, again. Yeah. But does he have the ability to crack it? I'd say, sorry, Eddie. He's got the ability to make it in the Premier League, but probably not at Arsenal, is my honest opinion. But I think he'll move to another club at some point, whether it's straight away or not, I don't know. But there's something not, you know, he's a sniffer and he's got that. But when you see Balogun, he turns up and he just scores. Why is he scoring goals? He just looks like he's in the, you know, he's always in the right place. He's got the right frame of mind. And Nketiah offers the team an awful lot. So I'd like to keep him, certainly for one more year, because I'm not really sure about Nketiah. That's where I'm at with him. I'm unsure.
Yeah.
I think he could make it, but I assume he won't. What's that about Auburn?
I'd rather get rid of one of them. And try, you know, and try with youth, because I think Uber's stinking up the club a little bit. Like, I think his attitude, and he's certainly not captain material, is he? So,
well, everybody's saying that.
With the Spurs thing and whatever else.
Yeah,
it was
terrible, yeah. I'm still shocked about that.
And maybe we'll get a decent amount of money for him. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some money for Lacazette. Because obviously, I think he's done quite well this year. But I think we need to obviously massively reinvest. I think centre halves were okay. Goalkeepers, we're okay. Probably need a new right back. I imagine Bellerin's going to fuck off this year.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it does sound like it, doesn't it? So we'll see. But yeah, I think, you know, big game tomorrow, isn't it? Really, like, season defining game. And I think if we lose that tomorrow, then there really isn't much to play for. It's just going to be right. If I was Arteta, if we do lose tomorrow and we get knocked out, I'd be like, right, stick the kids in, sack off the older players, let's get some experience, get ready for next season. Start preparing for next season now. We're not going to be in Europe, so we can make, we're not going to get top six, are we? We can make some real sort of start preparing for next season now. That's how I would sort of view it. Stop playing these fucking older players. Stop playing Willian. Stop playing, well, obviously Luis won't play anyway, but, you know, start blooding in the youngsters, because who gives a fuck? We're not going to get in Europe anyway. So, yeah, that's how I would sort of approach it. But fingers crossed, we pull our fingers out of our arses and deliver a performance tomorrow.
Yeah, let's cross our fingers, cross everything, because, you know, it does seem pretty unlikely that I say that, but you know, part of me says, well, that's Arsenal
sometimes they put it out of the bag.
Like, yeah, well, that's typical Arsenal, right? To make life difficult and then get a result against the odds, because now it's gone from an easy game to a very difficult game. Well, it was never totally easy, but they're only Prague. I mean, Arsenal got such a good record against Czech teams. And, you know, of course, that's got to end sometime. So maybe that great record's going to end tomorrow, but let's hope not. You know, because if Auba plays, then...
Well, he won't. Well, I don't think he will.
Don't sound like it, based on what you said. Sounds like it's never going to happen. So, yeah. And I think that's key to it. The problem, if Arsenal had their first team playing with Tierney playing and who else? Smith Rowe, those guys, you know, and the Norwegian guy, if he was playing as well, Udegaard, if all those guys were playing, yeah, sure, I'd be pretty confident Arsenal will not smash Prague, but they'll get a result without any doubt. But there's a lot of doubt in my mind purely because the team's just not, without those players, and that's three key players, I'm not sure it's quite good enough. That what do you think? Yeah. How optimistic are you going into that game?
Not really at all.
So
not at all. Like, I think we'll lose. I think we won't turn up. I think we'll bottle it. I think Arteta will get the selection wrong. He'll put faith in the wrong players again. So I do feel like he still really hasn't learned from his mistakes. Like, he hasn't learned from, you know, some of the players. He'll stick with Willian.
But he didn't start Willian against Sheffield United. Do you think he's saving them for this game?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That worries me more. That's true. The sentence there. I'm not confident. Honestly, I'm not confident. I think we won't turn up. It'll be a really boring shit display. I just don't see Arsenal doing anything special. But I'm looking forward to being proven wrong.
I mean, just going back to that malaria story, I mean, how convinced are you that that's true, that Auba is actually suffering?
Well, my mate, I've known for 8 years. I worked, played football with him in Bangkok. He's a very good friend. He's got no reason to lie, let's just say that. It could be bullshit, but he's got no reason to lie. So I kind of sort of would believe it. If he told me, I would believe it. But we'll see. We'll see, won't we, tomorrow? If he's playing tomorrow, then my friend's full of shit, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, at least you know something about your friendship. Nothing else, you'll know something about that. No. I mean, it's horrible to even think about him not making that game, because, well, it's partly because I'm a huge fan, and even on a bad day, I always think he might score because he's that sort of player.
I don't know. Like this season, he has been pretty shit for large periods of this season. Like, yeah. It's just his attitude. I think his attitude fucking stinks. So I think he's just got too big for his boots. I wouldn't mind if he didn't play. Put Martinelli in. I don't know what Martinelli's got to do to get a game, really. Like,
well, he scored. You know,
for me, he's the future. He's our future, Martinelli. Like, he should be playing up front every game. Like, why not? Like, what have we got? Especially if we do get knocked out. He should be playing up front every game. I do not know what that man has to do to get regular game time. Like, I know he's been injured, and fair enough, you know, if Arteta wants to sort of look after him, okay, I get that. But with some of the drab fucking performances that we have seen this season, put him in. Like, he can't be any worse than some of the shits that we've seen this year. So, yeah, for me, Martinelli has to start. Maybe Lacazette, you know, Saka. That would be my front three. And then maybe Pepe, because Saka's got to be the 10, isn't he? Because I don't want to see Ceballos near the fucking 10 position.
yeah.
I think he's just too slow. I think he's better as an 8. And that would be my team. That would be my team. That would be my front four. Lacazette, Anelli, Pepe and Saka. And then midfield, Ceballos and Partey. And then I'm assuming Bellerin, Mari, Gabriel, and Xhaka is left back, I guess. Or maybe Cedric. It depends what he wants to do. Yeah. I can see him playing Cedric. I don't think Cedric's been too bad.
No,
Cedric's another
bad
squad player.
Yeah.
I'm less offended by Cedric as a squad player than I am Elneny. But
actually, Cedric's been good.
I don't mind Cedric. Like he scored. I know Elneny scored the odd fucking banger, but yeah, like I prefer him. But you know, it's completely irrational, maybe. But yeah, I'm less offended by Cedric as a player than I am Elneny. But I don't have any real issue with Elneny. I just don't think he's a standard. You know, he's a squad player, isn't he?
I don't know what to make of Elneny. But I've never thought he's absolutely awful. It's with the deck chair, particularly the deck chair, when I compare. And he played a lot of games for Arsenal. And I said, this guy's going nowhere. And then everyone said, no, you're wrong. He's got ability. Oh, really? Let's see where he goes next. And what happened? His career just totally fizzled out.
Nothing.
After he left Arsenal, he just disappeared. And even Hleb, even Alexander Hleb, he was an okay player in a very good team. And same with Danielson.
No, I thought Kleb was much better.
Yeah, better Kleb than Danielson, of course. But
much better. Kleb was very good at threading balls. And Kleb went to Barcelona, to be fair.
Yeah, but what happened to him? Alex, have a look at what happened to him when he went to Barcelona. Not much.
Yeah, but Barcelona thought he was a decent player.
Oh, because they wanted to spend the money otherwise. You're right. Of course, Arsenal got a good deal out of it, but I was so angry with Kleb because there he was. I just thought he was he was better than Danielson. I'm not going to lie about that. Of course he was better than Danielson, but it's hard to compare because different position. But he's close control. I can't knock it at all because the guy had amazing close control, but decision-making, I used to think, what is he doing? He just non-stop passing, never ever crosses the ball, He used to do my head in totally, like, I prefer Chambers on the wing to Kleb. I'm not lying. Because he's crossing the other day. Chambers' crossing wasn't that great the other day. But his crossing is, generally speaking, quite good. And even Bellerin, his crossing is better than Kleb. Because Kleb never crossed the ball. He used to pass it like short pass inside.
Yeah, he wasn't a conventional winger of a sort, was he? Really?
No, he's a weird player, Fleb. I don't know what to make of him, really. He reminded me of what's that guy? Have you ever seen Harry Enfield where he had that, what was his name? Charlie Charles or something. He had this player, and this player used to, you know, put like glue on his foot, and then the ball would stick to his foot, and he'd run up and down, and he wouldn't do anything but just run up and down. And no one could get the ball off him. And Kleb was very good at keeping possession. I've got to give him credit for that. But he was so good at that. But to me, there was no end product. And that's why I used to get the ump with him. I used to go, this guy, he's got one of his close control is so unbelievably good. And yet, why is there no end product? He just holds onto the ball, passes it, short pass, never long. And you should have a mixture, really. And he's short passing. I'm not going to knock that either. So he had some skill, but the ultimate result would be frustration. The other team goes down the other end, gets a goal. But at least Kleb never lost it in his own third. I'll give him that. Never. Because he was always thinking, let's move forward with the ball. But, yeah, he wasn't. I've got to say, he wasn't a favourite of mine. That's when I started losing faith with Wenger, really, when And, you know, I was never a huge Wenger fan. Now, I'll be honest. I never really was. Because if you ask me, I don't know. If I was a player, I wouldn't really want to play for Wenger because it's just something about him.
All the trophies he won.
What was that?
All the trophies he won.
No, I know, but I know. It's just something about the guy, you know. If you ask me, would I prefer George Graham or Wenger? There's no, it's like chalk and cheese, really. I'll take George Graham because I would understand. I would understand that kind of manager. I wouldn't really like Wenger. I got the feeling the tactics were okay, guys. You just go out, express yourselves, you know. I know, like, from a scientific perspective, he was very good for, you know, he brought in all these chemicals, you know, what was it? I'm trying to think of the chemical they used.
Well, creating. He changed the diet and everything, didn't he? Like, he massively changed the diet.
Yeah, that was huge. So from a scientific, I think he can't be not. From a scientific perspective, he was the best manager ever in the game. Mm. But
yeah, he revolutionized how things.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
he said, okay, you have 10 minutes, you're going to do this drill. And then, okay, 10 minutes is finished. Right, now you stop, you do a different drill. Boss, we don't want to do that drill. No. 10 minutes is finished. Right, you do a different drill. And it was very disciplined like that. And I think it's more than a great thing. That's why Arsenal were transformed. He actually extended the careers of the back four, you know. But again, George Graham back four, Dixon, Winterburn, Adams, and Bold, and Keown, right? All of those, if you count Keown as five. But he extended their careers by bringing science into the equation.
Yeah, he did.
But once that, so he brought that in, and that was a massive advantage that Arsenal had. But you take. So what's the next step after that? Then what about tactics? What did he bring tactically to Arsenal? I'm not sure. That's where it begins and ends. Scientifically, he was the right guy. He was the right guy without a doubt. And that's why Arsenal won the trophies they won. And he wasn't stupid because he saw what George Graham had built. And he continued to build from those foundations that George Graham put in place. For that reason, I think he was a very clever manager. But if you ask me, you know, would I want to play for somebody like him? I'd say, sorry, I know you, it must, you know, stick in the craw, but I'd actually say no, not really. Because George Graham, I don't know, he just was straight talker. Whereas Arsene Wenger, I didn't really find him a straight talker. When I heard him talk to the media, I always thought he was lying. That's the actual truth. You know, when everybody was sick for the trips to the Northwest, and it even started before that. Okay, there was a penalty incident. What do you think, Arsene? I did not see it, you know. And straight away, I thought this guy's not really honest. And I mean, George Graham wasn't honest, people would say, because of what happened later on. But
I don't know. I think we're going down a bit of a rabbit hole here. But
I don't know. Yeah, it's just me personally. I mean, okay, let me put you in that position.
Yeah, let's focus on the tomorrow, right? Let's focus all right. on the present. Let's see how we do. So what do you reckon the score's going to be tomorrow?
Oh, score tomorrow. Well, it depends on the team lineup, obviously. But so if Orba is actually out with malaria, as you said, doesn't fill me with confidence, and there's no Smith Rowe, and there's the Norwegian guy, Odegaard is not going to play. So doesn't fill me with confidence. I'll be honest. I just think it's going to be a draw, and I think it's going to be 0-0, or, you know, and they're not going to get the goal. That's how I feel. They might keep a clean sheet. Even that would be a decent result, but it's not good enough to get through, is it? So I'm not optimistic. No. Not optimistic at all. So, your thoughts on that one?
No, same. I'm going to say 1-0 win. I think we'll score. I think we've got the ability to score. If he plays the right players, that's a massive if, of course. But if he plays the right players, I think we'll win 1-0.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hope so. I'm crossing everything, you know, because this tournament's so important. Okay, so we get past them. Just saying. I know it's a big if. So
yeah.
Villarreal. Would you expect Arsenal to beat Villarreal without Tierney? And possibly we don't know without number 10, without a proper number 10.
Not sure. I think that's our day we can beat anyone.
Yeah.
But that's a problem, isn't it, really?
But without Tierney.
Yeah, that doesn't fill me with confidence.
Yeah.
I agree.
I can't believe how much impact that guy's made, really. It's made a huge impact.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. So let's worry about tomorrow and then see. Yeah, maybe we can do a podcast before the next. If we manage to get through somehow, we can do one before the next game.
Oh, and what were two other things, right? Just before we go, Manchester United. I mean, they stuffed Spurs, which was pretty good to see. Actually,
always nice to see.
Yeah, but do you think Arsenal could beat Manchester United the way they're currently lined up? With this team, with no Tierney, no proper number 10, unless you count Tobias, could they beat Manchester United? If Arsenal had a really good day,
if Arsenal, you know, rode their luck a little bit and, you know, got a bit of fortune, yes, they could.
Yeah.
Will they? Obviously, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? But, yeah, I don't think United are the be-all and end-all. I think Arsenal, you know, we've had a decent result against in the season. I think they have got better as a team. But then, again as well, they're prone to inconsistency. So you never know what Man United's going to turn up either. So that, I think, is in Arsenal's favour.
Yeah, yeah, true. I mean, they look good against Spurs. What I saw in that game, they did look good, but ultimately,
they're definitely a better team than we are.
Yeah,
I think that's an easy point to make. I don't think I'm saying anything controversial there.
No. I mean, based on what I saw, even Spurs looked better than Arsenal. But then again, Arsenal beat Spurs, and let's not forget that. I just want to say a big shout out to people that have joined us. Although I can't pronounce their name, Season, I can pronounce that. Usama has joined us. And it looks like a sort of Welsh name in a way, but Simrug, something like that. So, yeah, hello to all of you people. But we've only got one more question that's planned for me to ask you, which is this. Paul Ince said after the Sheffield United game, he said that Arsenal should get rid of three of the back four. So by that, he was talking about Pablo Mari should go. He said Holding should go and Chambers should go, and the only decent player in the defence, in his opinion, is Tierney, who's injured. What are your thoughts about that?
I think Holding is all right. I think Mari is all right, and I think Chambers is all right. I think the point he's trying to make is it the quality that Arsenal want? Arguably, probably not. So that, I think that's what he's trying to say. And we've said this before. I said this.
Yeah. I know you've said the same thing.
We settle on players. You know, Arsenal's standard of what is a good enough player has dropped over the years, and I think that's why, as a team, we have dropped over the years. You know, we go, we all get over Walcott or Ramsey, you know, or Nasri or players like that. When realistically, Walcott never did it on a long term, on a
100 goals. Basis.
Ramsey did it.
He got 100 goals
over 10 years, Joe.
It was a while.
Ramsey did it one season. Nasri did it for half a season. Adebayo did it for one season. So we're getting misty eyed over these players.
Yeah,
that weren't doing it. You know, Sanchez did it when he wanted to. They weren't delivering the consistency that we fucking need.
Yeah.
So I see his point. And if Arsenal want to get back to the top, They need to start. Yeah, Partey is an elite level signing. Tierney is an elite level signing. Yeah. Saka is an elite level player. I hope Smith Rowe, and I suspect he hopefully will, is an elite level player. That's what we need to be aiming for. So
yeah,
I see it's point. I can't get too offended about that because I can't disagree with that, quite frankly. So
yeah, but
so to answer your question.
Yeah, but just one more thing, you know, because, you know, I'm a big fan of Chambers and Holding, actually. But
he's all right.
But Chambers was, I know it's only Fulham, but he was Fulham's player of the season in that one season that he spent there. They played him in midfield, though, predominantly, from what I can gather. So why, to me, that Chambers just looks like, I don't know, I'm not totally sold on him. But then the players that I was totally sold on, like Bellerin, it sounds like he's going to leave anyway. So I was totally sold on Bellerin. And Chambers, I'm more or less sold on. And I certainly don't want him to go. And Holding, the reason why I stick with Holding is because I think the guy's a winner. And it's one of those, you know, like Tony Adams. People wouldn't turn around and say to you, that's the centre-back that had the most ability that's ever played for Arsenal. I don't think too many people would say that. But the guy was a winner. The guy was a winner. He brought something to the team. And when Holding plays, I just feel more confident there's going to be a clean sheet. It hasn't been that many of late, I have to say. But, you know, I feel more confident.
Yeah, I feel more confident than when fucking Luis plays. Yeah, fine. But, again, if that's our standard bearer, this is what I mean. If that's our standard, well, he's better than Luis. All right. Like, is that, that's still not good enough? Like, and this is what I mean. Like, and I think this is what Ince means. It's like, that's your standard bearer. Well, he's better than Luis. He's the best we've got. Okay. You know, Xhaka is our second best midfielder at the club. I don't think there's much you can really argue. Yeah, he's our second best behind Partey.
Yeah,
in
you're
terms
right,
of consistency,
right.
In terms of performance.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. Yeah, you're right.
That tells everything.
Yeah, yeah. I have to agree with that.
Is what's fundamentally wrong with Arsenal. Granit Xhaka and I have no issues with his performance. He's behaved very well, apart from the Burnley mishap in both games. He seems to have a bit of a blind spot when it comes to playing Burnley. But he's played very well. He's consistently, he's battled, he's been a leader, he's done everything that, you know, we want our players to do. And when he is the second best midfielder at a club, that for me speaks volumes. And so that's my issue. And I think that's what Paul Ince is trying to say.
He's trying to say,
you know, we are, as a club, our standards are just nowhere near the standard they should be if we want to be successful. If we want to do these things, and I completely agree, and it's what I've been beating my drum on today, and, you know, in previous podcasts that we've had, we are not at the standard that we should be in. If we continue to get mediocre players or performances from big players that are mediocre, and Aubameyang falls into that bracket perfectly, then of course we're not going to get to where we want to go. So yeah, that for me is what he's trying to say. And I can't really argue. I agree with him. I have to admit, I agree. Would I sell them? No, necessarily, unless we can get people coming in. But do I think they're good enough? Also, no. So that, so that's kind of where I stand on it.
But also on that, just before you go, been saying that for a while, the players that Wenger brought in, like Sigon, who actually I quite liked, strangely. But lots of people gave him so much stick and said, this guy is not good enough for Arsenal. And then there were guys like Senderos, who I certainly didn't think, and Stepanovs. So these were the centre-backs. So if you look at these centre-backs, what I'm saying is the centre-backs at Arsenal now, to me, are certainly better than Senderos. They're certainly a million miles better than Stepanovs. And probably better than Sigon as well. And I like Sigon. I like Sigon.
Yeah.
And they were all Wenger signings. They're all Wenger signings. I'm just putting that out there.
Wenger had fucking nightmare signings. Wenger had absolutely shocking signings. Like, Wenger definitely won't ever be remembered for the quality of his transfers.
No.
Like,
although there were some good ones in the early days. Obviously Vieira.
Well, he developed Vieira. Mm. He developed Henry.
Yes.
you know. But when he bought big, you know, like he turned the Nelkmaar into Reyes.
Yeah,
couldn't really argue that he was a success. Wiltord was good. I think Wiltord just got a bit of the hump, really, didn't he?
Yeah, I felt so sorry about Wiltord. I loved Wiltord.
Yeah, I thought he was class. I thought he was decent.
So some of the attacking, I thought he was great at signing attackers, actually, Wenger, to give him his due. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not going to lie. But defensively, he was, apart from Sol Campbell, who did he buy? I mean, Kolo Touré, I think he bought him as well, who turned out to be a really good signing, although brought him in as a midfielder, turned him into a defender. But who did he buy? It was a good defender. Lauren was sort of an attacking defender. It was very good.
Yeah,
but Lauren, who did he buy? He's not strong enough. Yeah, so I have more confidence. Well, that's the
thing. He did inherit very good defenders.
Yes, really good.
Like the very good defenders did was they passed on what they knew to their defenders.
Yes, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? So,
and when you look at what Arteta's inherited, he's inherited just a shambles. He's actually inherited a shambles.
But he has, you know, he did sign Willian. He has signed Luis to another year deal, which blows my mind. I don't understand why Luis is thinking, A, got 1 year extension, and now they're talking about maybe giving him another one. I'm like, seriously, why don't we go out and buy a centre half? So, but I think transfers is probably a conversation for another day, isn't it? We could go on for hours about some of the fucking dross. Some of the dross that we've signed over the years.
I've got a long list of dross that I'm still trying to get over. Years after they've gone, you know, I'm still complaining about it. Right. As I said, Sigon, I had so many arguments about him because I went, Sigon's not as bad as people think. But people, most of the Arsenal fans said to me, no, trust me, Sigon is rubbish. I said, no, he's not. He's not quick, but he's got some positional sense about him. He had something, whereas Stepanovs, I just didn't get that one at all. And there's a website out there, and the Hot Stepanovs, I think it's just because it sounds like the Hot Stepper. But somebody's dedicated a website to Stepanovs, you know, And the guy I argued about most of all was the other one that sounds like Stepanovs. What's his name again? Something Ovs. You know the one, the Swiss guy, you know, the Swiss roll who used to be...
Not Giroud.
No. What's the...
Senderos,
yeah. So to me, yeah, he looked like a tough guy, but he was always falling over and I just couldn't believe it.
He got bullied by Drogba, didn't he?
Yeah, very much.
Drogba, just got absolutely mauled by Drogba. It was irresponsible managing almost.
Putting him in against Drogba. Drogba's something else.
And Drogba used to maul proper.
Pretty much everybody, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was always going to destroy it. And Senderos' confidence just was shot to shit.
Really, and he clocked up a lot of games for Arsenal, is what I'm saying. And yet, there we are. You know, you've got Paul Ince and he's criticising this defence. And I just look at the defence and go, well, I'm not saying they're the best thing since sliced bread. Don't use that phrase twice. So that's wrong.
This is the thing, isn't it? This is what I always try and say. It doesn't matter if we've signed worse. Are they still good enough for Arsenal now?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And you know, are they good enough for Arsenal? No. Were the players before good enough for Arsenal? Also no. But, you know, we need to get out of that sort of habit of going, oh, we signed worse players. Well, no, we should always try and strive to sign the best players. And I don't think, of course. Yeah. You know, for various reasons, we haven't. But hopefully, you know, we'll see how. I think Arteta's got this transfer window. If we start poorly next season, I'm not sure he'll have. I don't know how long he has after that.
Unless he wins the Europa League, which sounds extremely unlikely.
I think that will. Yeah, it does sound incredibly unlikely.
It gives him till at least December if he wins the Europa League. I'd say if I were running Arsenal, and that's never going to happen, but just say if I were running Arsenal and if he wins the Europa League, and that means obviously Champions League qualification, if he did that, I would say, okay, Mikel, you've got till December at least to just, you know, make a title change.
He needs to start, doesn't he? Because he'll have no excuse in the league because we won't have Europe. So, you know, you look at teams that are, sort of don't have Europe, you know, like West Ham, arguably this year, haven't had Europe, they're top four. Because they've got a whole week to settle.
And there's no way in this world that West Ham are better than Arsenal. Absolutely no way. I mean, they've got Jesse Lingard, who's been linked with Arsenal. What do you think about that? Would you sign him?
He's a player, and we've got, in terms of attacking midfield, we've got enough. We need a striker, and we need a couple of centre midfielders, and probably a right back.
Yeah,
that's who I aim for.
So you wouldn't sign Jesse Lingard then?
No, he's a good. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, makes
sense. Glad he's. Well, I think at United he was frozen out, but I don't think he's what we need. I think we have enough attacking midfielders and tens and wingers. Maybe if Odegaard goes, perhaps yes, maybe. But I think he might stunt the.
I want Odegaard.
That's right. Personally, I think he might stunt that, and I don't want to see that. Yeah. So no, I wouldn't. Out of all the players, I wouldn't. But there's players out there that I do want. He is not one.
Okay, right. I guess we're going to leave it there then. If you've got anything else to say. What's going on? My sound system's acting up. It is very much like Arsenal at the start of the game. Let's hope that Arsenal start well against Prague and get that result that you were talking about. A 1-0 away win would be really, I don't know. It would be manner of the gods, heavens, whatever you want to call it. Right. And that's all we've got time for. Well, we've probably got time for more. We're not giving it to you anyway. So until next time, adios, amigos.